Saturday night at the Waterfire Arts Center, big celebration having to do with the arts, with culture, with stories, dance, all of those things. But our headliner, the person who everybody's going to be waiting to hear, is Rose Weaver. And Rose will be there with the Honeysuckle Rose Band. Mm-hmm. And she's here right now. And Rose, so the theme of the evening is storytelling. And, you know, there's so many things to ask you about because you do everything. But you've acted, you've written, you've directed, you've done all sorts of things. But you do song in a way that reminds all of us about the expressiveness of song, that song is story. And I just want you to talk a little bit about how that feels and what you're thinking when you're singing, and if you can.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, first of all, for inviting me to be here and to be a part of the celebration. But yes, working at Trinity Repertory Company in the beginning of my career taught me about storytelling. Mm. And the songs that were already written, of course, from Fats Waller to Cole Porter to Gershwin to Ellington, continued for me something I was trying to perfect, and that was telling stories through songs. Because people used to ask me, are you a singer or are you an actress? I'm both. I was gifted with being able to be a triple threat in a way. We used to have jokes about that, you know, in a theater, about being a triple threat, and that's being able to sing, to act, dance, and all of that. But telling stories through music and words has been really important to me. And so when I do my show, my band, Honeysuckle Rose, it's really about keeping the heritage alive through these lyrics and these melodies.
There's something about popular song, jazz, it's part of the American experience, sung by so many great people who have brought their own personalities and backgrounds and conflicts and angst and everything else to those songs, that must provide a really rich palette when you're putting together these programs. But how do you choose what you're going to be singing in a given, you know, set?
That's a good question. Well, I think for this event, for instance, it is about the storytelling, but also liveliness. We're going to be performing about 9:30-ish. So I want to do music that's uplifting. Mm. And my opening number will be This Joint Is Jumpin'. And I think a lot of people will recognize it. And I try to do songs that are pretty familiar for something like this because it's going to be late. People will be having a good time. And they want to move a little bit and feel lively. So I choose songs that have fun in them. So This Joint Is Jumping. I'll do What a Little Moonlight Can Do, because the Billie Holiday show that I did at Trinity for all those performances definitely had some great songs. And so I'd like to give the audience some of those. So I'll do What a Little Moonlight Can Do and Give Me a Pig Foot and a Bottle of Beer. And just make it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, what a little moonlight can do. Oh, what a little moonlight can do to you.
And then I'll dig into some of the older bluesy type things. I do a song that Ethel Waters, whom everybody knows, I adore, and I try to honor her through music. A song called Shake That Thing. And I hope people will actually stand up and rock their hips with me. But to make it fun, that's how I choose. The event dictates what I choose.
So you've seen a lot of young people, you know, come into jazz, come into acting, doing a lot of the work that you did, because you embraced it, you loved it, and fought hard for it. How do you see the future for artists in our community, especially, as sort of work, you know, a place to work, a place where they might be able to actually build their careers?
That's a good question, too. And we used to have a lot more places to perform music, especially jazz. I think with hip-hop, rap, and those genres happening, it's a lively community. It is a lively community for them. For jazz, though, it's not as... we don't have as many places to play. So I go to Pot au Feu because Mr. Burke is willing to have a stage. I mean, he brings in people like Greg Abate, and the room is packed. People love him. And he brings me in to do different shows. I'm going to be there for Bastille Day, as a matter of fact. We're trying to do something out in the street, like a Parisian cafe.
That's nice.
With, you know, piano, bass, and drums, and vocals. But I think the arts are really lively here. And when Waterfire happens, it's music everywhere.
Yes.
You know, and we're lucky. So we need more places, and we need to, like, figure out ways to actually pay the musicians. That's a big problem. There's a lot of art going on, visual, performing, dance, music, about everything. But we have a problem, and I've talked to a lot of musicians about this. In order for the musicians to stay here, we've got to help feed them.
And that means an audience that's willing to pay admission fees and, you know, you go to a club to order the drinks so that they stay in business and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
That's the challenge then is to develop an awareness and a thirst for this kind of performance so that there are more active consumers of it, as it were, more audience members.
Yes, live performance.
And how do the schools play into that, do you think?
Well, you know, we have the Performing Arts High School like TAPA. Mm-hmm. They're training the students to really appreciate live music, live performance, dance, filmmaking, all the arts. So let's make sure that our local artists are lifted up, paid, and hired. And so, yes, the community has to go out and spend the money and pay for us to continue to exist.
Hmm. Well, it's going to be a pleasure to see you and to hear you and watch you at our event, 20 Years of Sound and Vision at the Waterfire Arts Center on Saturday night. And we're very grateful that you decided to do this for us.
This is going to be a wonderful event. I can feel it.
Yep, I think so too.
I'm wearing all red.
Oh, the lady in red. Okay.
Yes.